that, Father, we are going to sacrificially give toward the next generation. And I thank you, Father, for speaking to every heart and every mind on what we should do. And I declare for signs, miracles, and wonders to follow the word today in Jesus' mighty name. Can everybody say amen, 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 amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Well, the month of October is Clergy Appreciation Month. Just like our country celebrates Cancer Awareness Month, if you noticed, I have on my pink. My mom is a double cancer survivor and thriver. So just like our country celebrates Cancer Awareness Month, we celebrate Black History Month. Well, October is the time that we take to honor clergy and appreciate them. And just like in the past, I have honored the pastors here at Word of Truth Family Church. I will be doing that as well this month. But it's also the month where our church takes the time to honor me as the founder and senior pastor of our church. And we call it Value the Visionary Day. Now, most traditional environments may call it the Pastor Appreciation. But either way, it's just a time that you all use to be a blessing. And although it may not look like it, how many know pastoring can be full of challenges? It is. It has its ups and it has its downs. It has its highs and it has its lows. Please excuse the bad analogy, but pastoring can be like the effect of drugs. Drugs can take you high to the sky, but then eventually you're going to come down to the ground. Pastoring is just like that. You can get news one day that somebody got a double bonus and raise, and then the same day somebody's mom may have passed away. So I'm grateful for our church when you all take the time to be a blessing to me. And so how many received the email that I sent out on Friday? If you received the email, that's all. How many read the email? Let me ask you. Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to repeat some of what I said, because in the email that I sent on Friday, and if you haven't read it, go back and check it. This year, due to prayerful instructions that took place in 2024, because before we plan, I pray, and last year, I think it was around November, God spoke to me about having a second giving day in this year. Now, for those of you who may not know it, when God gives instructions, I'm going to do my best to follow what they are. And most people may not know this, but sometimes a leader may receive special instructions from the Lord, and he's expecting us to carry those out, especially sometimes when it comes to special offerings. Now, people think that sometimes it's a pastor thing, but I want to read Exodus chapter 25. I'm going to start in verse 1. I'm reading out of the King James Version. It says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses." Everybody say, "He spoke to Moses." "And the Lord spoke to Moses," and this is what he said to Moses, "I need you to speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering." Who was the offering for? It was for the Lord. He says, "Of every man," watch what he says, "that gives it," how? "Willingly, with his heart, so shall you take up my offering." And so when the Lord spoke to me about a second offering, I asked him what it was for. And he didn't disclose that to me. And you know what's interesting about hearing and knowing the voice of God? God can tell you something over here and decides to not tell you nothing over here. Amen. And so this has only happened to me twice. The first time that this happened to me is when God asked me to receive an offering from my church. I had no clue why we were taking up the offering, but I obeyed him. And then I told our church, "I'm not sure what this offering is for, but we're going to set the money aside. And then when God reveals what it's for, we'll use it for that purpose." And to our surprise, Louisiana had the worst hurricane. That was when Hurricane Katrina hit. And a lot of Louisiana people got displaced due to that hurricane. And God used Word of Truth Family Church to bless a displaced family. And we not only put them in housing, we paid for it for two years. We blessed them with food and utilities. And we did that. And we took care of them. Watch this. And we would not have been able to do it the way we did it had not we obeyed God's instructions. Amen. So although I was clueless of why God wanted me to have a second offering this year, I announced it in our review preview. You know, every year in February, I give, you know, an update of how our church is doing and that type of thing. And I had no idea that the idea of a daycare or an academy would come up. And so when the idea came up, of course, one of our pastor's wife, actually, who has two kids, little kids, is like, Pastor, this is a need in our church. And we did some surveying. We did some research and discovered, wow, this area has a need for this. Have you all seen all the apartments that they're building around here? Have you all seen all the babies that we've dedicated in this church? So I didn't think anything of it. And so we were in a leadership meeting. And I said to the group, because when we discovered that there were two items that were going to cost $140,000, you know, for the daycare, I thought, oh, that should be easy. We have all the equipment. We have the space. It shouldn't be a big deal. But as we were going through to stay compliant with the state, there were two items that we needed. And one of them was a playground. And the other one was to update our fire system for it to talk. Well, when I told our leadership servants, I said, listen, we're going to put the daycare on hold and we're going to make it something that we focus on next year. One of our servant leaders said, Pastor, is there a way for us to give towards it anyway? And I hadn't thought of that. I said, you know what? Let me think about it. And right there on the spot, that's when God said, that's what the second offering is for. In other words, church, I want you to see that he knew it was coming even though I was clueless. Say amen to that. And so that's what our second offering is for today. And here's why I'm excited. Ask me why I'm excited. I am excited because, watch this, as a pastor, my goal is to keep my ear to heaven and my heart towards people. Amen. And so God gives me two types of directives. I'm not talking about no other pastor. I'm just talking about how God deals with me. There are two ways that I get directives. The first directive is heart-directed. Everybody say heart-directed. And heart-directed are things that are in my heart that I might see among us that I know needs to happen. But then there are times where God will do something that's God-directed. Everybody say God-directed. And when God directs something, it is something that is coming from his heart that he wants us to do. And this academy is God directed because he knew it was coming up, and he knew also that it would give us as a church the opportunity now to train up and nurture the next generation. Just like I knew God wanted us to build a building and not buy a building, I am that certain that God wants us to start True Kids Academy. Say amen to that. So I want to take the time right now just to show appreciation to all of us who tithe regularly and give offerings that has helped get our church to where it is right now. Can we just give everyone who does that a big hand clap? We have an amazing giving church. There are people here who love the Lord first and who love Word of Truth Family Church, and they show their love by giving. Say amen to that. Amen. And I said all that to say this, and I'm going to jump into what I want to do here. But most people, say most people. Now look at your neighbor and say, are you in the most? Most people who don't understand the benefits of generosity will look at these opportunities and compare their situations and not give anything or give something that is not significant because they're basing it on what they have or don't have. Now, I'm about to hit you with a take-home thought that's real hard. So just look at somebody and say, brace yourself. If what you give doesn't mean anything to you, why should it mean anything to God? Oh my God, did you hear that? I'm gonna rewind that one and say it again. I'm gonna say it again. If what you give doesn't mean anything to you, why should it mean anything to God? That woman with the alabaster box, she spent a whole lot of money to buy that ointment, but she took some time to anoint the feet of Jesus. It cost her a lot. And here it is, we're talking about that woman today because what she gave meant a lot to her, which made it mean a lot to Jesus. And so today, since it's our sacrificial day, I'm going to share on a topic that will be a reminder for some, a challenge for others, and a correction to some of you who may be off course. So I'm going to teach this morning, and you have your notes. I'm going to call it Generosity by Faith. And I promise you, if you can get what I'm going to teach you today, your life can go to another level regardless of where you are right now. So you may say, well, why teach on something like that, Pastor? Well, here's one of the reasons. Our church this year, say this year, our church this year has helped a lot of members financially. Actually, we've helped more than what I care to. Not because I don't want to help people, but I've realized that those we are helping, they need help because they don't understand that God has a system where they won't need help if they will do what he wants them to do. As a matter of fact, I discovered one thing that Pastor Lisa brought to my attention because she governs our finances is that most, everybody say most, the majority of members who we have helped and helped on a regular basis do not tithe or may not even tithe consistently and give offerings. So that says they have yet come to the place where they have faith in God's way of financially blessing them and increasing them. And so for those of us who tithe and those of us who give offering regularly, it's so easy for us to think that the majority is doing that. But let me tell you, church, the majority do not do that. I know those of us who do it, it seems like everybody is doing it, but everybody is not doing it. Say amen to that. So here's a principle that I want to start our teaching off with this morning. I'm going to teach you, and I promise you, I might make myself happy. I might even come off the stage and run down the altar and just break all of my Presbyterian rules. But here's the principle that I want you to get this morning. Here's the principle. And the principle is actually found in our first point. In fact, I want you to read our first point together. Let's read it. Everything we have belongs to God. Let's try it again. Everything we have belongs to God. Listen to Psalm 24:1 in the King James Version. It says, the earth is whose? It's the Lord's, and the fullness of the earth is his. And then he says, if you're confused about that, the world and all that live in it. Listen now through the voice translation. The earth and all that's upon it belongs to who? The eternal. The world is his with every living creature on it. Let's look at one more verse so I can convince you that everything you and I have belongs to the Lord. Psalm 50 verse 7 in the New Living Translation says, oh my people, listen as I speak. Here are my charges against you, O Israel. This is God talking to them. He says, I am God, even your God. I have no complaint about your sacrifices or the burnt offerings you constantly offer. He says, but I don't need the bulls from your barns or the goats from your pens. For all the animals of the forest, they are mine. I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird on the mountain and all the animals of the field are whose, church? He says, they are mine. He says, if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you, for all the world is mine and everything that's in it. Let's look at one more verse so I can put the cherry on top. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 10 in the New Living Translation. Then David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly. He says, oh, Lord, the God of our ancestors, Israel. May you be praised forever and ever. Verse 11. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, and you're the power, and you're the glory, and the victory, and the majesty. Everything, everybody say everything. Everything in the heavens and on the earth is whose? It is yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. We adore you as the one who is over all things. Watch verse 12. He says, wealth and honor comes from you and you alone. I know you think that when you go on your job, you earn what you have, therefore it makes it yours. But wealth and honor comes from God alone, for you rule over everything. Watch what he says. Power and might are in your hand, and at your discretion, people are made great and given strength. Watch verse 13. Let's read it together. Oh, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. Keep reading. But who am I and who are my people that we could give you anything? Everything we have has come from you, and we give you only what you first gave to us. So I have another take-home statement that I want to give you. Here it is. We think because we earned it, it is ours. The problem even with that thinking, church, is that we can only earn what we have earned with the strength and the power that God gave us. But listen to this verse, and I'm going to demonstrate it after this. Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. He says, but you shall remember, touch your neighbor and say, you need to remember. But you shall remember the Lord your God. For it is he that gives you the power to do what? To get wealth, that he may establish his covenant where he swore unto his fathers this day. Listen to the New Living Translation. He says, remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful, in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed to your ancestors with an oath. The fact that he says for us to remember shows that it is possible to forget. I'm gonna say that again. The fact that he told us to remember that it's God that gives us the power to be successful shows us and implies that it is easy to forget. So I wanna get a youth, so I can demonstrate this, because the youth represents the next generation. Is there a young person in the house? Come on up here. You got your hand up. Come on. Yeah. Come on up here. Back there. She had her hand up first. All right. Y'all give her a hand clap as she comes. All right. So I am going to give you some instructions. And before I do that, I want to ask the congregation, whose money is in my pocket right here? It's my money. I know the Lord blessed me with it, okay? But now he's given me responsibility to manage it. So I'm going to take some of whose money? My money. Whose is it? Okay, I need her to make sure she knows whose money this is. So I'm going to give her some of whose money? My money, and here's a $50 bill, all right? So go have a seat for a second. Just go have a seat. Go have a seat. Yeah. Now just hold on. Whose money, church? My money, my money. Sit right over here in the front, because I need to keep an eye on you. And security, don't let her leave. The Bible says the earth is whose? The Lord's. And what else? The fullness thereof. So that means anything that is on the earth belongs to him. And even though I may have earned the money, he gave me the strength, because if he didn't give me the air, I couldn't breathe. If he didn't give me health, I couldn't work. If he didn't give me energy, I couldn't do this. You know what I'm saying? So here's the problem that we have. We have a problem because the Bible says in Malachi 3 for us to return the tithe into the storehouse. So I'm going to ask her to return my money. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. You can have a seat right there. Stay right there. Stay right there. Now, did she bless me with $50? No, no, no. Did she increase me with $50? No. What did she do? She just returned to me my $50. And what it did is showed me that she's not a thief or a robber. And because she's not, I am going to bless her. You can have the $50. Welcome. So honoring God in what we give and the way we give makes a huge difference. Watch this. And because the average giver or believer doesn't know, they don't know that, then watch this. I'm getting ready to take a hard left. This is so good. The reason most believers, they don't understand giving is because most of us give like the world does. Which brings us to point number two, and I want us to read this point together, which is, let's read, we give by faith, not just donate. See, church, the world gives donations. They donate when God's people should be giving by faith, and there's a huge difference between the two. See, donating gives you a great feeling that you helped somebody or you've supported somebody. But see, while giving by faith, it has expectations connected to it because a promise of giving has been made by God. Let's listen to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, to give us an example of what it means to give by faith, and then I'm going to demonstrate it for you as well. It says, by faith. By what? Faith. By faith, Abel, who was, you know, Cain and Abel were the first two sons of Adam and Eve. It says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. I want you to notice that the Bible is actually comparing the way they gave. When you look up that word excellent, it means better in quality and better in quantity. What's the big difference? Because Abel gave of the first and some fat, but Cain only gave an offering. Listen to the New Living Translation of that verse. It says it was by faith. It was by what, church? By faith, and that's what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about generosity by faith. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. And when you continue to read, it talks about how God accepted what Abel did, but he rejected what Cain did. You know what? That's amazing, because Abel gave his offering by faith. So that now implies that Cain didn't. And that's the difference between donating and giving by faith. Donating is just saying, I want to help that person. I want to bless that person. Or I want to bless that organization. The focus, watch this now, becomes on what you did and how it made you feel. Amen. As a matter of fact, when you donate, donations determine, watch this, whether or not you have the money or the time, whichever one you're giving, to determine if you're going to do it at all. But in reality, giving should be done by faith. And guess what? Although faith comes by hearing, watch this, it is energized by, motivated by love. So when I talk about giving by faith, just like a car needs to have gas for it to be energized, faith needs to have love for it to be energized. Listen to Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, read it with me, but faith which works by... How does faith work? Okay, listen now to the voice translation. Here's the thing. In Jesus the Anointed, whether you are circumcised or not, makes no difference. What makes a difference is, read it with me, faith energized by love. So it wasn't that Cain didn't have the ability to give. He just didn't exercise faith to give it. And most people, they think they have a lack of money problem or they have a stack of bills problem, when the fact is they really have a faith problem and they also have a love problem. Because Jesus said, if you love me, you'll what? You'll keep my commandments. So here's the question, which is going to be so good. What does it mean to give by faith? Because a lot of people don't. A lot of people give by finances. If I have enough, I'll give to the Lord. Or let me look at my bills. Okay, Lord, I'll catch you on the back end. Right? So what does it mean to give by faith? Well, let me explain it this way. Faith is received when we hear the word of God. How does faith come by what? Hearing. And hearing what? Okay, so faith is received when we hear the word of God. Faith is expressed when we obey the word of God. But the process doesn't stop there. Faith is manifested, watch this, when we expect God to do what he promised that he would do after we give. And that's the piece that the world doesn't do. They donate and they walk away and they feel good about what they did. And God is saying, no, I don't want you to donate. I want you to give by faith. And giving by faith is not just obeying what my word says, but it's also putting an expectation in your heart that after you do what I told you to do, I am going to bless you. Amen. So let's now go to a very known passage of scripture. I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to demonstrate this point to you. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. I have mentioned it. I want to read it in the New Living Translation. Listen to what the Bible says. I am the Lord, and I do not change. You know, it shocks me if people say it's tithing from today. Well, has God changed? No, he's not. He says, I am the Lord, I do not change. That is why you descendants of Jacob are not destroyed. Ever since the days of your ancestors, you have scorned my decrees and failed to obey them. Now return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of heavens. But you ask, how can we return when we've never gone away? Should people cheat God? He said, but yet you have cheated me. But you ask, well, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? He says, you have cheated me. I want you to read this part with me. Of the tithes and offerings due to me. We pay dues. You know, organizations pay dues. And we pay dues over here and dues over there. When God's saying, what am I due? Watch verse 9. He says, you're cursed with a curse. The whole nation has been cheating me. And then he tells us, bring all the tithe where? Into the storehouse that there may be enough food in my temple. Watch this now. He says, if you do. This is where now giving by faith comes in. Because the only way to give by faith, a promise has to be made. Because a promise causes expectation to happen. When you promise your kids something, they gonna tell all the parents. They telling them, my mama taking me to Six Flags. My mama taking me to Six Flags. Mama, when you taking me to Six Flags? You said you was taking me to Six Flags. Watch what God says. He says, if you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you, and I will do what? Pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. He says, try it. Watch this. Put me to the test. Your mama ain't never told you to test her. You listen, you hear that? Your mama ain't never said, test me. But this is God saying, put me to the test. And he says, this is what's going to happen. In addition to me pouring out a blessing, in addition to you not having enough room, he says, your crops will be abundant. And then he says, I will give you financial insurance. I will guard what you have from sex and disease. And then he says, your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe. That's how you can stand on the word. From miscarriages right there. I just gave somebody a word to stand on. He said he would not let my fruit come to ripe before it's supposed to. So giving by faith is not just knowing what I just read. And it's not even just doing what I just read. Giving by faith is doing this, listen church, with an expectation that God is going to do what he promised. And here's the sad thing. A lot of Christians think that expecting God to do something after they give something is wrong. In fact, the world will tell you, you shouldn't give something and expect something back. Well, then what's the whole point of being a farmer? Did you hear what I said?
What's the, listen, I ain't heard nobody mad at a farmer who planted some seed in the ground and took the time to take care of it and have expectation of a harvest. I don't know people mad at farmers. So why is it that the world wants us to think that we should give and walk away and expect nothing? When you do that, you are donating. But God is saying, I don't want you to donate. I want you to give by faith, because giving by faith says, put me to the test. I will do what I said I will do.
So I'm closing. Luke 6:38 says, give and you will what? Receive. Your gift will return to you in full, full measure, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more. And what's the next two words, church? Running over. And here's why most believers don't see God do what he can do. Because putting him to the test means, God, I don't have enough, so I'm going to obey you, and I'm going to put you to the test that when I need what I need, you're going to show up. So I want another youth. Okay. That young lady who was, because she was the second person to raise her hand. Okay, no, this one right here. Yeah, standing up, yeah, come on. Yeah, you, with the sweater on, yeah, come on. Come on, y'all give her a hand. Okay, so, young lady, I am going to give you some instructions. The instructions are going to match what God said to do. When God said, bring the tithe into his storehouse, what's the tithe? It's a tenth. A tenth of what? A tenth of whatever you get, right? And then he didn't just say give a tenth. He said, tithe, you rob me in tithe and what? Okay, so you haven't asked me for anything, but I have $1 right here. I have 9 dimes and 10 pennies. I'm going to ask you to obey what the scripture says and to give a tithe. What's a tithe of a dollar, church? A dime. And then an offering. The offering is whatever amount you want to give. So, what's your name?
Naomi.
Naomi, there's your dollar. I'm going to pretend like I'm the Lord. I'm not the Lord. On social media, they'll try to check up. I'm not the Lord. I'm just pretending, for example. May I, well, listen, return to me. Wait a minute. So let me ask you something. How did she get what she's starting with? In other words, God shows us by blessing us first. So now I'm going to say, Naomi, I need you to return to me the tithe, and I need you to give me an offering. There, she got 10%. She gave me a dime. Okay. Now, it's up to you. Offering is where it's a man willing in his heart. So whatever, you know, just act like this is your budget. Okay? Wow. She gave 30 cents. And since the Bible said, now let me ask you a question. So, that she returned 40 cents. Who still has more? She said, so why do we have a problem with the dime? When he lets us keep the most anyway. So she done gave now the Lord 40% of her increase. Now, I don't recommend that, but I'm just saying. I'm just saying. But because now the scripture says, when you give, it's given back to you. And for the measure which you measure it out, it's going to be measured to you again. So now I'm going to go from giving her a dollar to giving her $20. Okay? So now let me get this back right here. So Naomi, here's what I want you to do. I want you, because faith comes how? By hearing. So I want you to now open up your mouth, and I'm going to tell you what to say, because this is what you do in between harvests. Say, Father, I thank you for increase coming my way. I gave to you, and I returned to you. Therefore, I expect for you to use men to give to my bosom.
I thank you for increasing me, for the windows of heaven to be open and pouring out blessings to me in Jesus' name.
So now, let's say some man, some person came and blesses her with $20. Okay, I need you to repeat this cycle right here. Now, here's why. I'll tell you what. I'm going to give you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Give me one of those tens back. Now, I've given you $20. What's a tithe of $20, church? Huh? So, okay, make sure y'all got your math. Get your calculator out if you need a calculator. What's a tithe, Naomi? Huh? A tithe of $20 is $2. There it is, $2. So you need to return to me a tithe, and you need to give me an offering as well.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. You're going to, she gave a $10 offering. Wow. She's smart. Now, I have a question. Who still has the most? She does. But because now she understands the system, and because she's measuring out the way she wants to get it back, we're going to do the exercise again. She's in between harvests. Lord, I thank you for increase coming my way. I returned the tithe. I gave a generous offering. Thank you for opening up the windows of heaven and pouring out a blessing to me in Jesus' name. So now she done went to the next level. I'm going to give her a $50 bill now. Listen, all of what you got is yours. So now you got $50. What's the tithe of 50? $5. So you owe, you need to return to the Lord $5. Okay, and I need an offering too, because he says in tithe and offering. The offering can be any amount. You can give it $3. It says purpose in your heart. Don't listen to them, because this ain't about their life. This is about your life. So whatever you want to give. Okay, she gave $3. All right. So now, I have a question. Who still has more money? And because she continued the cycle, which most people stop, because you get enough and you say, oh, I'm good, my job is good, my life is good, my family is good. What you don't remember is that God don't just bless you to have a blessing. He blesses you to be a blessing. So now, Naomi, I'm going to give you $40 extra. But I want you to take one of those $40 bills in just a second. I tell you what, I'm going to give you 40. I'm going to give you a total of 50. But I still need an offering from you. So I gave you 50. What's 10% of 50? $5. I tell you what, let me do this right here. I'm going to give you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Give me a 10. All right, so now I need a tithe of, what was it I gave a 50? What's a tithe of 50? $5. I need $5, and I need an offering. Thank you. Thank you for returning. I can trust you. Well, she gave a $40 offering, and all it, I'll pick it up. She gave $40 and the 90 cents she had left. And because, here we go. What do you do in between harvest, church? Lord, I thank you. Say, Lord, I thank you for increasing me, for blessing me, for taking my financial life to a new level. Thank you for rebuking the devourer. Thank you for keeping my family safe. And thank you for favor coming down my way. And because, watch this, and because she has done what the word says. The scripture says when we give, God will cause all grace to abound toward us. And because he does, I'm going to give her all the money that I have. I don't know how much it is, but here's what I need you to do now. Because you came on this stage with less than what you're leaving with,
So I want you to now take $20 or whatever you decide and bless somebody in the audience. Go ahead. Go ahead. Come on, y'all, give her a big hand clap as she finds somebody. They can't be related to you, though. You can't give it to mama them. Give it to some. Just find somebody you want to be a blessing to. Look at that. Y'all give her a big hand clap. So let's close with our final point. What's our final point? Giving blesses us and it benefits others. Here's the principle as I close. When we give, it is always to God or unto God, although his house, other people, or even ourselves may benefit from it. I'm going to say that again. When we give, it is always to God or unto God, although his house or other people may benefit or even ourselves may benefit. And that is why whatever we do, we must do it as unto the Lord. Colossians 3:23 says, and whatever you do, do it heartily unto the Lord and not to men, knowing from the Lord you shall receive your reward. So when you and I are being generous, and we give it by faith. Do y'all understand? Did y'all get the message? And if you exercise that, God's going to do. Let me tell you something. If God lies about what I'm teaching you, what makes you think he didn't lie about heaven? But the Bible tells us he's not a man that he should lie. So if we can trust him with our lives to go to heaven, we should be able to trust him to give the way he wants us to. Amen? So.